1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Henry.
You know, Channel 19 has been conducting some public service campaigns, ads, especially now with drinking and driving, with college graduation coming up and proms. Don Berman joins us from the Channel 19. You're in the news van right now, Don?
I am, Phil, and we'll be on assignment for a couple of hours right now.
Tell us a little bit about the drinking and driving campaign at Channel 19.
It is a far-reaching campaign, and it's doubly important for me. I have a teenage son and a teenage daughter, and anchoring the news, I see some horrible, horrible accidents. I am one of the few anchors in the country who actually goes out on assignment, and I do see some horrible things. I see firsthand what drinking and driving can do. The horror of a family torn apart by a drunk driver is inexplicable.
And yet it goes on generation after generation.
Also, Phil, the other thing is it's tough for people to understand that while we encourage our young people and our young adults to get a designated driver, we also need for them to understand that there are certain professions and certain people who do need to drink and drive because the demands of the job make it necessary to drink and drive. And how do you deliver that message to a young person? How do you say, I don't want you drinking and driving, you can kill yourself, and yet also say, I need to drink and drive because of the demands.
Well, when you say people who need to drink and drive, who are you talking about?
Well, a few of the people, I can give you an example from my own industry, and I don't want you to misunderstand me, Phil, because most people do. I do not encourage drinking and driving. I want to make that very clear. And at Channel 19, we have invested tens of thousands of dollars in billboards and campaigns across the Los Angeles area to discourage drinking and driving. But as I was telling you, I go out on assignment. And when we roll on a news story that involves the death of a child or violence toward women, it is very difficult to deal with the magnitude of that without steadying your nerves with a drink. And without trying to calm yourself down with a drink.
So you, do you drink when you go out on the news story? Are you driving?
I do drive, Phil, because generally I'm paged at home and time is of the essence. So I will drive to the story and I'll meet the news crew there.
Well, why don't you have somebody else? If you're saying that you need to drink and drive because of the horror of the story you're going to, why don't you have someone else drive?
Well, first of all, it's impossible on a short notice. And again, as a newsman, this is part, in some respects, of the job. What I want to do more than anything else is to assure people that this isn't the drinking and driving that they are afraid of. We are news people, and we're drinking to steady our nerves. I'm talking about the drinking and driving of young people that kills people, the drinking and driving of college students, the drinking and driving of just the average citizen. So, again, when I say that I drink and drive, it's because I am involved in a profession where we see death, and we see dying, and we see injury every day.
Well, first of all, my hat's off to you to be one of the few anchors who does go out and do his own stories, because very few news anchors even write their own news anymore.
I'm one of maybe a half a dozen in the Los Angeles area, and nationally I know of about 20 other news anchors, both men and women, who write their own news.
But where are you drinking? So. And I don't want to harp on this.
I understand that, Phil.
But since you say there is a big difference between drinking and driving and drinking and driving that's a necessity for your job, where are you drinking? Is it at home? Is it in the car?
When I get the call, Phil, it is sometimes necessary to just jump in the car and meet the camera crew at the location of a story and get on the air so I can have the story on the air. So I keep in my glove box, and this is not all the time, but I will keep in the glove box a flask because it'll have either bourbon or vodka in it. But again, people need to know that this is the drinking and driving that is necessary. And I don't want them misunderstanding that it is a dangerous thing to do if you're not working on a job that's necessitating it.
So you're drinking from a flask while you're driving?
Yes. I'll be going over questions I'll ask and trying to get my head together for the story and trying to settle myself down and not be so emotional when I get there, because you don't know what you're going to face. Is it a dead child? Is it a fire? Is it a horrible thing? So I will take just a couple of sips from a flask of bourbon, and I'll put it back in the glove box, and that way I can steady my nerves.
What kind of a news story? Well, you just said, so the death of a child. I imagine all news people engage in this.
Oh, absolutely, Phil.
So all news people are drinking somewhat on the job?
Absolutely. I imagine any one of the major news anchors in Los Angeles or around the country haven't had at least one drink before they go on the air. especially if they've been out on assignment. But this kind of story, I'll give you an example from early in my career.
All right, well, hold on to that. I want to give our phone number out, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're a rare opportunity to talk to Don Berman. He's the anchor of the Channel 19 News at 10. And we're talking about a drinking and driving public service campaign that they are conducting at Channel 19. Kind of difficult because Don is saying that there are some professions where you do need to drink and drive, his, a newsman, being one of them. So how do you tell kids don't drink and drive while you need to for your job? 1-800-449-8686. So Don, tell me, you were early in your career?
Yeah, well, early on in my, I'll give you an example. This is when I learned from older newsmen what you had to do to survive in this business. And I was told to go out and cover and do a report on the L.A. County Fair. The 4-H exhibits were what they wanted me to cover, and I knew what this meant. I'd be witnessing animals paraded in front of humans in the most demeaning manner, forced to do tricks, hamster and guinea pig blue ribbon judging, knowing that those animals would be shipped off to market for sandwich meat right after the show. And that's when I took my first drink, and it's been something that I carry with me to this day.
Because that experience was traumatic.
Because that experience was very traumatic, and also because I knew that it would help me get through what I had to do.
So there are professions where drinking and driving is necessary.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's the challenge we have as parents. How do we tell our young people, don't drink and drive while you have a hip flask in your glove compartment? And what I say to my daughter is, I need this for my work. Someday you might need it for your work. But until that day comes, you are not to get behind the wheel of a car after you've had something to drink. And again, the profession where it's necessary, whether you're a doctor who may be rushing to a woman's home to perform a tracheotomy without anesthetic, you need a drink to steady your nerves. All of these things.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I want to get into some of those professions. Say a doctor who has to perform a tracheotomy without anesthetic?
Yes.
He would need a drink to steady his nerves.
Oh, absolutely, because what you have is a patient. You have to slit a hole in their throat and get a tube down it, and you're doing it without anesthetic. So you have to hold them down while they're screaming from the pain of cutting a hole in their throat. I don't know of any man that could face that without taking a drink.
All right, let me go over here to Lori. Lori, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Don Berman from Channel 19. Lori? Or Leslie, I'm sorry, Leslie.
Yes.
Yes, go ahead, ma'am.
I am just appalled that this gentleman thinks that his job necessitates him drinking at all, much less drinking and driving. I know a lot of people that deal with death.
I am not in favor of drinking and driving.
But your job doesn't necessitate you doing that. There's a lot of people who are going to that same call of that same injured child or dead child, and they're not drinking on their way to that call.
They don't need to communicate that story. I want to be clear. I am completely against drinking and driving.
You use the word necessitate. That's a necessity.
My job, I got to take a drink.
That's unbelievable.
Well, I would suggest you ride along with me some night on some of the calls. I'm the most
trusted. What about the police officer that's going to that call, and he goes to those calls as often, if not way more often than you?
Because,
is he drinking on
no,
his way there?
No, because he can handle that as a police officer. I'm a newsman. I am a civilian, and I'm reporting to the people.
He's a human being, and you're a human being.
Yes,
and
but he needs to have the steady nerves to do what he's doing. He may have a gun or whatever. I don't need to have... I need to have steady nerves so I can report clearly and accurately. And
so I want to be clear.
Police officers have training for that, too.
I just want to be clear. So you've got a flask in the glove box of your car. When you're going to do a story for Channel 19, you're drinking out of that on your way to the story.
Well, you're making it sound as if I'm getting intoxicated. I am not. I'm taking a couple of sips to steady my nerves. I am, and believe me, I don't know how I got this, but the poll in L.A. Magazine, I'm the most trusted face on Southern California television. When a story breaks, it's me that they want to hear it from. That's a lot of responsibility, and I need a drink to be able to...
I think you need to find another job.
Why would I need another job when I make so much money at the one that I'm doing, and I'm very successful at it?
Well, you're not successful if you have to drink to do it and endanger other people.
Well, I understand the lady. If you're a teetotaler, that's fine. But there are some of us who aren't so skittish.
All right. Thank you, Leslie. Thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Don Berman is with us from Channel 19 News on their big campaign against drinking and driving, although he says it's tough to tell a kid not to drink and drive when there are some professions where you need to drink and drive, like being a newsman going to a scene of an accident or some story where it could be very traumatic. He goes to a lot of assignments on the site, and he drinks from a hip flask that he keeps in the glove box of his car. 1-800-449-868. Yeah, Don, you want to say something?
I just wanted to add, I'm capable of drinking and driving because I'm capable of multitasking. Many people are not. But when I drink and I'm driving to the scene of a story, by the time I get there, I know exactly the questions I want to ask. I know exactly what I want to say on the air.
All right. All right, hold on for a second. Don Berman, always good to have him with us from Channel 19's News at 10. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Controlled by the International Jewish Media Conspiracy.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show. Don Berman is with us. Don is with the Channel 19 News. We're talking about drinking and driving. Drinking and driving is wrong, but you do it in your job because it's necessary.
Well, it's very much like saying to someone, don't play with guns. Don't go into the closet and take out that gun. You don't know what you're doing with it. You're going to kill yourself. Guns are very dangerous. And yet there are times when you may need one. Drinking and driving is very much the same. And what we're trying to tell people at Channel 19 News is, if you're going to drink and drive, be sure you're doing it on your way to a necessary job, on your way to a job that you'll need that drink, and certainly don't abuse it. But if you're a young person, certainly do not.
Well, you said you don't believe in drinking and driving.
And I do not.
All right, so, but newsmen and firemen and cops?
I think there are some professions, doctors and firefighters are the ones that come to my mind.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Kelvin, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to make a comment. I play music in bars at night. I'm a musician, and I am strongly against drinking and driving. And this gentleman you're talking to, this news anchor gentleman, he's very wrong in the way he's thinking. In my opinion, he's got double standards.
Well, Kelvin, this is Don Berman. I'm very happy you called. I'm a newsman, what that means is I'm not only just on the air, I go out and cover the stories. And I was at a 4-H exhibit, as I mentioned, I've had to cover most of the county fairs here, one of the state fairs.
What about that causes you to drink?
Well, first of all, you're seeing animals abused. You're seeing animals paraded and humiliated in front of humans. It's very, very traumatic.
And the point I want to make, sir, is that if you feel like you have to drink to get control of yourself for your profession, I'm afraid you're in the wrong profession. You're supposed to be a professional.
Well, sir.
And that means you're supposed to be able to do your job.
Well, with all due respect.
And if you can't do your job without drinking, maybe you need to call a cab to get to your job.
I don't know what my opinion. I don't know what you mean. I mean, look, you don't have a job where it's necessary to drink and drive. You play a guitar in a bar. I report to millions of people. I think there's a little bit of a difference
there. You can
report
to millions of people. You can do it sober.
Well, I can tell you this much. I have been co-anchoring with Donna Kaufman for the last 15 years, and they asked me to work with her. I said, yes, I would work with her. I didn't want to, but I did. And for 15 years, I have gone into that studio and sat down next to that woman. And I can tell you, Kelvin, that no man alive could do that without taking a drink.
Are you talking about having strife with a coworker?
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if you live in a glass house, you don't throw rocks. And to me, sir, you're living in a glass house and throwing rocks.
I know. I'm saying don't drink and drive unless you work in news.
Excuse me. You're fighting a campaign against drinking and driving, and then you'll get your car and have a drink on the way to the story.
Yes, because
that's
I wrong, need
sir.
It. I have to go back to a studio and look at her and do the news story.
You're drinking and driving because the stories you're going to suck. And
no, sir, I don't drink and drive.
I'll tell you this, Kelvin, you don't need to. You work in a bar. You're staying in one place. I'm all over the city before I go on the air at 10.
All right, Kelvin, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. You're now adding into this the fact that you work with someone.
Look, Donna Kaufman, Phil, is a wonderful professional. She's one of the top news anchors in the business. She's worked for NBC. She's worked for CBS. It just happens that I don't like her. I've never liked her. And I reserve the right to do what I need to do to sit in the same studio next to her while she goes on and on about God knows what.
And that means taking a drink.
That means taking a drink, yes.
All right, Lisa, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello, Lisa.
Hi, how are
Hi.
You?
Good, ma'am.
First of all, I wanted to point out that I was a journalist and I left the industry because I couldn't ask the questions that you're probably asking or see the things that you're seeing. However, I don't
Absolutely.
Condone. But I, however, though, you know, as a mother, as a human being, as someone who has had a brother in treatment, I don't condone any drinking and driving. I don't condone any drug use, alcohol use, any substance abuse of any kind to go do a job. There are millions of people out there that are, and I
Well, how am I supposed to do it? I don't understand.
I don't know, but there are people that are popping Valium and popping Xanax and popping Vicodin and all of these things to do.
Absolutely.
The lawyer that goes into court, the fireman that runs into a building, an accountant that goes to do taxes for big companies like Enron, and
then
they know their heads on.
Then you know what I'm talking about.
But I, because I'm a drug rep and I hear these stories from doctors, but I still don't think that that gives you, it's still a dangerous situation to put the people
Lisa,
in the public in.
Can I make this point, Phil, because I think it's very
yes.
important. Lisa today is in another profession, and she could very well be in the news profession, but she didn't want to take a drink. I take a drink so I can stay in this profession. And
so you have to drink, Mr. Berman, in order to stay in this profession. And I think
are you saying Dan Rather takes a drink? Tom Brokaw takes a drink?
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if they did. And I'll tell you something.
I'd be horrified.
You were in the business. You know what it's like to work with some of these prima donnas. Donna Kaufman, who's
Men
one
as
of these...
Well.
Okay. Can I use the B-I-T-C-H word, Mr. Henry?
I'd rather you didn't.
Well... Man, I'll tell you what, I have got to take a couple of good knocks of vodka before I can sit down next to her and do a half-hour newscast.
What's wrong with her?
She's a prima donna. She's a thief because I was supposed to have gotten the last bump in the contract negotiation. She got it. And she
do you think it's because of your drinking and what you're talking about right now, and maybe they think you're a risk factor?
Yeah, it could be. You're talking on the air about drinking.
No. Donna Kaufman thinks she's the star of the 10 o'clock news. And it's a lie.
It's a vain business.
Well, if I didn't take a drink before going in there, I might take a swing at her. And that's what I'm worried about.
Anger management.
Yeah, you need anger management, dude. I mean, there's a lot of stuff.
Oh, anger management. Why don't you anger manage this? You know, all of the things that I've tried to do in my...
All right, hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Don Berman of the Channel 19 News at 10. He says drinking and driving is wrong, as we all believe, but for newsmen, drinking and driving is necessary because of the horrible things that they see. He also feels he has the right to take a drink on the job because his co-anchor in the news, Donna Kaufman, is a B-I-T-C-H. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
With Don Berman from Channel 19 News at 10. Don, you're talking about drinking and driving. It's a wrong thing to do, but you feel that you should be allowed to, as other newsmen should be allowed to, because you think there are professions that need it.
There are professions where drinking and driving, Phil, is absolutely necessary.
Well, in a minute, I want to mention something that came up at the scene of a news story when you arrived that got you into some hot water with the L.A. County Fire Department.
And I know the story you're talking about, Phil. It is hearsay.
Well, all right. Before we get to that, I need to take another call here. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go over to Johnny. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I can't believe that you needed a drink to get you through the 4-H Club exhibit. Thank God you didn't have to, go cover the
I think animals being abused is traumatic.
Yeah, that you're looking for an excuse to drink, and they have a place you can go for that. It's called Alcoholics Anonymous. I cover accidents every day. That's what I do. Is deal fatalities every day.
What do you do? What do you do, sir?
From a professional standpoint,
what do you do?
It's not.
What do you do?
What do I do? I do my job. I go in.
No, what is your profession? What is your profession?
I'm an accident investigator for a trucking company.
Well, have you ever seen a flock of sheep being paraded off to market by a 10-year-old child? Do you think that that's something you could keep your... You know something? You may find it very humorous, Johnny, but if
you
know, I report to people, you don't have to...
You are a gentleman looking for an excuse to drink. It's okay for you, but hey, the rest of the world...
Yeah. It is necessary for me to drink and drive.
Necessary for the LAPD to pull you over and arrest you for DUI. I can't believe that the station would condone a person like you.
I'm not necessarily condoning this. I think that what Mr. Berman, what you're saying is that you don't like kids drinking and driving, but some professions need it.
I have to. When I'm racing to the scene where a child has been burned, third-degree burns, I need to take a couple of blasts. Wouldn't you?
The same thing for the billy goat with the, with the blue bonnet on for winning. I mean, Jesus,
All right,
what's the next reason?
I got a story here. You were covering, I'm sorry, but you were covering a double accident. It was two deaths in an accident on the Hollywood Freeway that you went to the scene of. This was back in April.
Phil, this story has been reported and debunked.
All right, but it's, did you run over two of the body bags?
Oh, my God.
Did you run over two of the body bags?
When I got to the scene, the sheriff had laid those body bags in an area that was unsafe.
You ran over two dead bodies?
Yes, and can I underline the word dead? I didn't kill anyone. I don't know what the gentleman's laughing at, but I can tell you that I went through no end of crap dealing with that for 3 months.
Well,
were you arrested?
Arrested for what? Hit and run on a dead body?
Well, obviously you slammed a couple back before you got there. I mean,
Yes, so who's to know?
Was there any sign of any improprieties of your drinking?
I can hear the laugh in your voice, and it's pissing me off.
And Wait a second.
Quite frankly, you're pissing me off.
I'm
out here trying to protect people.
I didn't.
And you're the guy who's out there, running over...
I didn't run over any children. I ran over two body bags with dead bodies in them.
Jesus.
All right,
listen. Thank you very much.
I had to wipe the tears from my eyes when I pulled up to the scene, and they were blocking my vision, and so that was difficult for me to see.
Well, the sheriff said you pulled up, the car fishtailed. And it went over two body bags with bodies in them.
Yeah, so what's your point?
What's my point? You're pulling up, you're pulling up to the scene of a news story? We also have a tape of you, and we're going to get to it here in a couple of minutes, of one of your reports.
I hope you do, Phil. I'm proud of my work.
I don't know that you're going to be proud of this one.
Well, excuse me, if you want to turn media critic, that's something else. I'm very proud of my work.
All right, here is Kevin on the Phil Henry Show. Kevin, go ahead.
Listen, Berman, this is the most asinine thing I've ever heard of. I've been in journalism, and I know the stress involved, and there is no point. It is not helpful to drink. You've got a serious problem. You're an alcoholic. You realize that? You need help, man. I can't emphasize enough.
You sound like I don't believe you were in news.
You don't believe I was in news?
No, you weren't in news.
You want to see my press card, pal?
Press card?
I'm telling you, you don't need to drink in order to do this.
Where did you work?
Where did I work? At the Santa Maria Times, Santa Maria, California.
Listen, Brenda Starr, first of all, I work at a big city news service. I'm not working at the Santa Maria Times. Secondly, the things that I see here are gruesome and grotesque beyond words. What do you see up at the Santa Maria Times? Somebody ran over a cat?
Listen, I'll tell you, I saw plenty of gruesome scenes up there, and the thing is, pal, you're going to see plenty more because they're going to be all over the front bumper of your car if you don't stop drinking and driving.
I don't understand.
I'm sick of it. I'm calling to try and save lives here.
What life are you saving?
Well,
All right. Let me, I'm going to play this. 1-800-449-8686, our number. I want to play this because this is a recording of you doing one of your reports.
I don't remember this.
Just hold on.
And now we're going to Don Berman on the scene. Don?
Well, man, there was a car the other day, he said,
There it is. What do you think of that?
What's wrong with that?
Oh, yeah, that was really clear and concise, huh?
That's professional work. Now, if you don't mind, happy hour starting over at the smokehouse.
Yeah, you got to get ready for work, huh?
You bet.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Won't float without pontoons.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
That was me doing a voice there of Don Berman. News at 10. Sometimes drinking and driving is a necessary part of a profession. And Don, he has himself a few blasts, and then he comes squealing up to a news scene, fishtailing over dead bodies in a body bag, gets out of the car, straightening his tie. He's ready to go. God, that's funny. That's a funny thought. Our website is philhenryshow.com. With every backstage pass, you get access to all of our audio archives, bits like that, other bits that we've done in the past. Let me give an example of what you may find on our website. God, I found this, and I was clearing out some files today, and I thought I would just go ahead and read to you examples of things that are on our website. Dr. Jim Sadler had a new book called Transitions, How to Help Your Loved One Cross Over to the Other Side. Now, you can find this hour on our website, I believe. In this hour, this episode of the Phil Henry Show, Dr. Jim Sadler has come out with a new book that helps the living deal with the almost dead among us. Dr. Sadler has some great ideas on what to do to help your loved ones transition to the next plane. Here are some examples. In an effort to show respect to the long career that Bob Hope has had, lightly tap Bob on the head with one of his Emmys to help him transition to another plane. Or if your loved one liked vintage cars, for instance, perhaps you could get them behind the wheel and push them into the surf. In a vintage car. Charlie LaFountain was an ad salesman on Making Your Wedding Count. Charlie is footing the bill for his daughter's upcoming wedding, and quite frankly, he's looking for ways to cut his costs. He has some helpful hints to help recoup some of your losses if you have a wedding coming up. For instance, you could have a raffle, and the winner gets first crack at the bride on wedding night. Number two, have the bridesmaids give lap dances to the guests and split their tips with them. Number three, have the guests' cars detailed while they're at the reception and don't give them their keys back until they pay up. Anyway, that's on our website, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Hope you enjoy it. And our souvenir shop's open, too. Get those presents for Mom, for Dad, for everybody, for Mother's and Father's Day. We also got an email from our good friend in Alaska. What's that guy's name? Small Bob, and Small Bob is getting pissed off because we don't have we don't have the 4X size shirts yet. And he's sick and tired of listening to me talking about how fat I am because he grew an extra size from the last time he sent us an email wanting those new shirts. So all I can tell you, Small Bob, is one guy, and I'm going to make a double, I'm going to make a 4X shirt for one guy. Hey, yeah, how about buying two and sewing them together? Phil, you keep saying you're fat. Bullcrap. You don't know what fat is. You're California fat. Up here, we're Alaska fat. That's a big difference, and it's huge. Where the hell are the 4X shirts? When I started asking, I was a 3X. I ate the steady turkey burger diet like you suggested, and now I'm a 4X on my way to 5X. How about sticking a boot in the ass of the person telling you there isn't any money in selling the larger sizes? Regards, Small Bob. All I can do, Bob, is I can go to Debbie Petrasic and I can say, can we get those 4X Ted's of Beverly Hills shirts, all the shirts? Otherwise, you will have to sew a couple together. All right, 1-800-449-8686. There's some breaking news. In Canada, Prime Minister Jean Chrétien said that his government will propose a bill to decriminalize the possession of small amounts of marijuana. Chrétien drew applause and even a couple of joyful whoops on Tuesday night when he told a fundraising dinner for his Liberal Party that the legislation was coming. The goal, he said, is to prevent young people who smoke a joint from getting a criminal record for the rest of their lives. The law would not legalize marijuana, but would make possessing less than an ounce an offense similar to a traffic violation. So you may soon be able to blast up in Canada and not go away for a long time. So they can't back us up in the war in Iraq, and they're getting high. It's cool, and it's a good point, because who needs it, right? Who needs the cops running around on that stuff? We don't need the cops running around on that stuff. So, you know, the sooner we do that, the sooner we get our thumbs out of our rear ends down here, the better. Because you got man hour after man hour after man hour being devoted to this nonsense, marijuana. And I'm talking about huge dollars going to the DEA and big money going to police agencies and overtime money and stakeouts and this and that. It ain't slowing down anybody. It's not stopping anybody from smoking that stuff. Everybody's smoking it now, by the way. And the whole reason why we even need to legalize it, you realize, is because most of the people smoking it now are lame asses. They're getting busted. Why, back in my day, the weed was plentiful, everybody was cool, nobody got arrested. I'm joking, I don't have any first-hand experience with that. But seriously, there was a time when smoking weed was something you did quietly. You didn't run around and scream about it. You didn't go around wanting to legalize it. Telling people that you got arrested for it. Telling people that you wanted to make a big issue. Just shut up and smoke it. Grow it in your backyard if you have to. Score it from your friends or whoever it is you're buying it from. Don't make a big thing about it. Now we have the chronic. It ain't the weed no more. It's the chronic. And everybody's smoking the weed, and everybody wants it legalized. And now this medicinal marijuana, says who? Says you, because you got a tummy ache? No, my doctor says I need it. Well, have him turn you on then. Jesus. Simple thing. Hey, doc, do you think I need marijuana? Yes, I do. Well, make with it. Every cop ought to have just a baggie of this stuff. Did I say cop? I meant to say every doctor should have a baggie of this stuff in his briefcase someplace. But the man hours devoted to freaking arresting people for smoking the weed. So up in Canada, they're doing something about it. So good for you guys. You know where you see, you got your act together in Canada. We're running around kicking everybody's ass. You're up there. You got your priorities set. You want to make sure the kids don't have a record. Seriously, I'm envious of you. All we ever do is go places, help people, and there isn't a one word of thanks. We're getting our asses kicked for, you know, you smile the wrong way at some people, man. They hate your guts if you got that red, white, and blue, you know. Over there in Iran right now, or what is it, Iraq? I forget where we were now. I forget where we are now, I should say. And what's the name of that town? Falafel? We're in Falafel, which is named after some doughy ball of food, and they don't dig us over there. They're telling us to get our asses out. Why, you know, who needs it? I think we ought to pull out, leave one aircraft carrier floating in the ocean off of Iraq. No, actually, better yet, one submarine, just floating. We'll pull out of there, And the minute we see anything start, we get any crap from any of them Shiites, any Islamic theocracy thing, in come the tomahawks. Just a reminder, tomahawk a month. Here's a little present from your Uncle Sam. Boom! Yeah. Just a little reminder from the U.S. of A. Keep your act together. Wham! Every month, about on the third or fourth of the month, well, we ought to be getting that tomahawk any minute now. Yep, here it comes. Bang! And, you know, or maybe a skywriting jet says, little reminder from Uncle Sam, pull your thumb out of your rear end. That's what we should do. All right, so that's the news. That's Canada. We also have kind of an interesting thing. I got poison oak from my daughter. And I had to go to the doctor yesterday and get a shot of cortisone. And it dawned on me today, as my wife was applying the lotion that the doctor gave us to my back, because I can't reach it, it occurred to me why people don't get married. See, everybody has a persona, and when it comes to the world of sex, men and women, the persona is a very powerful one for men, and for women, a very alluring and sexy one. But we maintain those personas for a long time. The minute there's a crack in that, naturally, it becomes a scary thing. And what does that crack lead to? It leads to your wife putting poison oak lotion on your back. That's what it leads to. It leads to your wife putting you to bed and tucking you in, going, do you want some orange juice, honey? Oh, yeah, okay. In other words, no matter how strong, no matter how powerful, no matter how sexy, no matter how well you made love to her on that first date, which she just bonded with you forever, sooner or later you're going to want your Donald Duck cup full of orange juice. It's just every man is on his way to that when you get married. So I would suggest to any guy, if you have any fear of that happening, don't get married. Because since I've been married, I mean, everything, man. Every cold, and I've been sitting there sick, and I, you know, bad breath, and everything that is like, she sees it all, man. You know, you look stupid in a pair of pants, your shoes are dumb looking, she's wiping dirt off your face. Every wife becomes a mother. Yeah, she's licking her thumb and wiping dirt off your face. You're eight. And for the women, what's the flip side is no makeup in the morning. He sees you without your makeup. You know that there's some women whose husbands have never seen them without makeup? Honest to God, some women get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to put their makeup on. And their husbands have never seen them without makeup. You can't keep that up forever. It's impossible. Sooner or later, he's going to see you without the makeup. And he'll run screaming from the house. And then you can say, well, I had 3-4 good years. I'm kidding. He won't run screaming from the house. Then how do I know? Maybe he's nuts. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
The organization is called Fathers for Fairness. The founding member is Vernon Dozier. We're going to find out what his organization is about here in just a second. Our website, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com, to find out just exactly what the Phil Henry Show is all about. Mr. Dozier, how are you today, sir?
I'm very fine, thank you.
Mr. Dozier, tell us about Fathers for Fairness and how this organization started.
Yes, sir. This organization started actually last month, Phil. We are in the beginning building stages of Fathers for Fairness, but we do have we've got some printed material. This really started. It's a support group for fathers who've had a certain understanding with their wives that we feel wives have gone back on. And what do you do? Do you just stand there twisting in the breeze, or how do you do it? So.
But what is this involved? Does this involve the children?
It specifically involves the children. I can tell you in my case, my son Joshua was born, he'll be 10 on July 15th. I think I've done a pretty good job, like a lot of men, of dealing with having a child and, you know, putting up with what that brings. But it has to do with children in general, but in my case, yes, my son. I'm 43 years of age. We had Josh, as I mentioned, almost 10 years ago. My wife, Rebecca, is a former dancer. She worked in some great shows in Las Vegas, Phil, and one of them was the Follies Berger, which is the longest-running floor show, dance show in Las Vegas.
At the Tropicana?
Yes, sir, that is correct. And I met my wife in Las Vegas. And I can tell you, when you're married to a woman like that, it's...
She's beautiful, huh?
My wife is very beautiful, and it's like unwrapping a Christmas present every day. So we got married, and she made it clear that she wanted a child. And she didn't say this until after we got married, but I said, all right, I agreed to this. And she had the kid, and what has happened in increasing frequency is now that she's had Josh, say that we're not having the fun we used to have, and the very thing is happening that I started Fairness for Fathers over. I have to compete with him, with my son, for my wife's attention. You know, and what is that about? You know what I'm saying?
Well, so your wife is spending more time with your son?
No, I'm just saying, what is that about? It's a baby, and I got to compete with my wife.
Well, you're concerned as a father that your son takes too much time away from you and your wife.
Well, what I'm concerned with, and what Fairness for Fathers is all about, is that I'm married to a very beautiful woman. Okay. And
I understand that, sir.
And I want to have a ball with her. And here comes our son. And I give an example. He had a stomach ache. Okay. And he knocks on the door, you know, right when we're getting ready to be intimate.
I understand.
And he has a stomach ache. And now this is what I tell other husbands. Be watchful for this behavior. My wife says, let me get you some aspirin. And she gets out of bed. Now I'm there and... You know, I was just about ready to go, and it's frustrating. So Fathers for Fairness asked the question, why do I have to compete with a kid for a little, you know what? And when did kids all of a sudden tell me when and where I can be with my wife, who was in the Follies Berger, as I mentioned, the longest-running show?
Yeah, in Las Vegas, I understand that. So your son had a stomach ache.
And this is something to watch, Phil, because the kid, it's always the kid. Fathers for Fairness is the first organization to finally come out and say to wives and to women and to mothers, hi, I'm your husband. Remember me. And our organization, we hope, will grow to the point where men can finally start getting, and I don't want, it's not about sex, but that's the number one thing, I think, that a lot of us have been deprived of, is, you know, getting you-know-what while she's off. Whatever she's doing with the kid. And she chose to give attention to that kid instead of making love to me. And I think that that has got to stop. And I think that there are millions of American men that would agree. And that's what our organization's about.
All right, Vernon Dozier with us, Fathers for Fairness, an interesting organization formed around the premise that women spend too much time with the kids. And in the process, the husband is being sort of neglected. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. I want to ask you, Mr. Dozier, this was your son. He had a stomach ache?
That was the claim, yes, sir.
And he's in pain, so what do you do?
Well, I can tell you this, Mr. When I was a boy, I never got these kinds of illnesses. And let me tell you what...
Well, he had a stomach ache, though, and his mother went and got him an aspirin.
No, but I never had this kind of a problem when I was a kid. Let me tell you something. This is psychological. And this is what we put in our literature. Fathers for Fairness will be putting out a pamphlet that gives all fathers a series of warning signs. Now, what this is what is called the Oedipus Complex.
I understand what the Oedipus Complex is.
Well, if I can explain it for your listeners, I'd appreciate it.
Go ahead.
The Oedipus Complex was a theory that was proffered by Sigmund Freud, one of the father of modern psychoanalysis. It is a phenomenon whereby the son wants to usurp the father.
Understood.
So the son desires sex with his own mother, and he wants to kill his own father. This is called the Oedipus Complex. Now, that's Sigmund Freud talking. That's not me. That's Sigmund Freud. That's one of the greatest minds of the last 200 years talking, so I didn't make that up.
No, I understand that. It is a fundamental part of Freud's a theorem on human beings.
Okay. So the son wants to kill the father to have sex with the mother. Now, I'm not going to be looking up from my workbench from a... It's not going to happen to me. And whether she's got a great body or not, it ain't going to happen to me.
All right, then the Oedipus complex played out the way you say it is, in my opinion, though, is a little far-fetched.
Well, I mean, that's fine, but where do I come? You know, when I come home and the only thing is, you know, the other thing is taking her side. See what I'm saying?
All right, well, hold on for a minute. I want to get some phone calls. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Vernon Dozier of the organization Fathers for Fairness, an organization that believes women are spending too much time with the kids, and it makes the marriage more sexually frustrating for the husband. Jackie, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I just want to say that I think this gentleman is a jerk. When he made the choice to have a child, he made the choice to put his feelings and needs aside first. Children are your first priority. Children are the answer to saving the world.
Wait a minute, ma'am. I'm not saying the child doesn't have a right to exist. But all of a sudden...
You're saying that your needs are first and you're competing with your wife.
Well, how come he gets to have aspirin and everything and I'm sitting there ready to go and I got to go and take a cold shower? How does that work?
Because he needs his parents before anything else.
I mean,
he needs his mom and his dad first. Can you imagine if your son heard what you were saying right now?
Wait a second. My son, first of all, he knows that I love him. But it's kind of a qualified love because I'm not going to love him if I don't get any. How can I love my son if I'm not getting any?
What?
What are you laughing at, man?
Do you understand what you sound like?
Yeah,
like a pompous jerk.
Did you hear what you just said?
No, all I'm saying is how can I keep a good loving mood when I'm cut off?
Because that good loving mood comes last. If you don't have love, if you don't have emotional bond, if you don't have a shared emotional love with your child, then you have nothing.
No, but we've got millions of American men who are getting frozen out by their old ladies because... Junior, he needs this, he needs that, he needs something.
You know what, sir? My father is 66 years old. He has four daughters. He just recovered from prostate cancer, and I'll tell you right now.
Yeah, I bet you I know
why. The thing that keeps my parents together,
because he got cut off and it backed up. He got cut off and it backed up.
He didn't get cut off and it backed up. It was hereditary.
That's why he got prostate cancer.
Wait a minute.
No,
you're not a doctor. You can't say that.
I'm a nurse, sir. That's not why he got prostate cancer. Prostate cancer is hereditary. Men can play with themselves whenever they want.
My understanding is that if your old lady freezes you out, it'll back up and you can get prostate cancer.
You're not a doctor.
That
listen to what the nurse is saying.
Well, I can tell you this, ma'am. The marriage contract, nobody said to me, have a kid and then cut your genitals off.
No, the marriage contract said for better or for worse, for sickness and health.
That is
true. Richer and in poor, through good times and in bad. So guess what? You're having a bad time. Deal with it. Don't take it out on your child. That poor kid's going to be scarred for the rest of his life because of what you're saying.
I'm not taking it out on the child. I'm asking my wife
to
be
fair. What is you're doing?
I'm asking my wife.
Oh, right, no. I'm sorry. You're taking it out on your wife and your child.
No, not my child. Do you know about the Oedipus complex?
The Oedipus complex?
Yes,
no,
ma'am.
I'm sorry.
The Oedipus complex is Sigmund Freud's basic theorem that a boy wants to have sex with his own mother and kill his own father. Now,
about Freud revolves around sex.
Okay,
so it's funny that you're using that
and
comparison.
And so what you want to do is you want my son to put a fire axe into my forehead and then go have sex with his own mother.
That's not
sir,
what your son
that's,
wants
that's
either.
Not
your son wants to feel love
Freud
as much from you as from your daughter, as from your wife.
Freud didn't mean that literally. Freud meant it on a very deep subconscious level, that boys have some sexual connection to their mothers, and they have a competition with their fathers. That's a
As girls do with their fathers.
Well, that's called the
electric. Girls adore their fathers. But I don't want my father.
So you're a
my father's my hero.
Yeah, but you know, down deep down.
That's disgusting.
Deep down what?
That is disgusting. That's the most disgusting thing I've ever heard.
But you're smiling now, aren't you?
I'm laughing
at you.
Look,
I don't want to have a talk about, you know, sex with your father.
My son, let me tell you.
Calm down. What do you want to say?
My son wants to kill me with a garden hose.
Maybe you're scared of your son.
And he wants to rape my wife.
No, he doesn't.
I can't get that out of my head.
Maybe you need to go to church.
All right.
That's a great solution. Go to church. See, all you people are the same. I love it. Hi, I just put a fire axe into my dad's forehead. Maybe you need to go to church.
No, maybe you do because of the sick, disgusting thoughts you're having.
No, I'm not having sick,
Your
disgusting.
Son is a 10-year-old innocent boy.
Yes, why do you
He doesn't
fear...
even know anything yet.
Hi, I just burned an orphanage to the ground with all the kids in it. Maybe you need to go to church. Ma'am,
No, if you run an orphanage down with all the kids in it, you need to go to hell.
All right, listen, thanks for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Vernon Dozier is with an organization called Fathers for Fairness. And this organization purports to believe that men all over America are having to compete with their sons for their wives' attention, and something's got to give, something's got to stop. And they propose a number of things that we're going to be getting into. But first of all, they think that it is Freudian and that women are going to have to start giving a little bit more time to their husbands because they're, quote, freezing their husbands out, that they're cutting their husbands off. And that is one of the reasons why so many men at an advanced age get prostate cancer because, and I'm quoting now, it backs up, end quote. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Out of bounds.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
Talking with Vernon Dozier, the founder of an organization called Fathers Fathers for Fairness. And the organization is basically about your wife spending too much time with your son, right?
No, that's not the organization. So the organization is about wives not spending enough time with their husbands because of their children.
All right.
And we were driving home from San Diego this weekend, I can tell you this, and he's in the back seat, and she takes his side a lot. And we drove by a farm, and he's in the back seat, and he says, ooh, it smells, because there was fertilizer out there. And this is what I'm talking about. His mother doesn't say anything, so I thought about it, and I decided to use some psychology. So I looked in the rearview mirror, and I looked at him, and I said, well, you smell too. So that's the kind of psychology that you got to use. All right. And,
that's psychology. What about a father having a love for his son?
Well, there's millions of American men that know what I'm talking about, Mr. Henry.
Now, what about a father having love for his son?
When you're married to what I'm married to, when you got what I got, I mean, this is a brick house that I'm married to. And believe me, what comes first in your life is your wife, then your son. If you get a look at the body on my wife, you take a look at the body on my wife. Now maybe these guys out there, a lot of the guys out there are married to something that isn't that great looking. So, yeah, your son will come first. I can understand that.
So, in other words, if some guy's kid comes first to him, his wife is a cow.
I mean, what else?
Well, some guys are into their wives and their family equally. And it isn't always about sex.
Look, the kid sits in the kitchen watching his mother cook dinner, waiting for her to drop a spoon so he can look up her skirt. No.
All right, I don't believe it. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Sandy. Go ahead.
I am absolutely appalled at the fact that you are actually sitting there suggesting the fact that each child is the same. Each family, I don't know what life you were brought up in.
Ma'am,
I have
Freud tells us that.
I don't care what Freud said, okay? The purpose, I have two beautiful boys and a husband that loves his kids as much as he loves me.
Well,
there is, we
ma'am,
are equal.
Does he really, and I don't mean to be offensive, he loves his children. Of
yes.
course, but does he spend a lot of time with his kids?
Of course he does.
Okay,
that is what being a father is.
All right, I don't want to make a comment.
Quality time.
I'm just saying that my wife is, she used to be a dancer in Las Vegas, okay?
But that's besides the point.
And,
not
and
everyone
first,
has been.
The first year of my son's life, he spent more time with my wife's breast than I did.
Okay.
So
as
now,
a
he's
mother,
a baby. He's being
figure.
Breastfed.
All right.
As a motherly figure, we have that.
Are you?
Connection.
Can I ask a question, Mr. Henry?
About what?
I'd like to ask this lady a question. I don't want to offend her.
Go ahead.
What is the question?
Do you have big breasts?
I fail to see what that's.
I'm trying
exactly.
to establish.
I do
I'm,
too.
I'm trying to establish if this lady, and forgive my language, ma'am, but there's two kinds of women, and I'm just trying to say if you're a and forgive my language, piece of ass, or if you're...
Would you, sir...
No, but I'm trying to establish, does your husband spend time with the kids because he likes being with them or because there's not a lot going on with you?
That's insulting.
Well, I mean,
I am not insulted because I am very confident in my marriage and my family. What I look like is very pleasing to my husband, and that is all that matters.
Have you frozen him out?
Absolutely not. And to be perfectly honest, the nurse was absolutely right. Prostate has nothing to do with quote-unquote freezing up.
No.
It is the way your body
functions. I didn't say that, man. I said her. She said that her mother cut her father off, so it backed,
No, she didn't.
It backed up.
Okay, you have a problem with listening, and you have a problem with your own self. You are putting it off on your child, which is going, in the long run, going to hurt you more than anyone else.
Can I? I am the head of an organization trying to find fairness for men, okay?
Yes, a very large group of men who are insecure.
How often do you... Well, I guess I'm going to be in trouble.
What's the question?
I wanted to know how often she does it with her husband.
This is all irrelevant.
It's not about a marriage.
No, it's
that
not.
That is not about a family.
Yes, it is. Look, when you're married...
No, it's not.
...to the piece of ass...
Can we stop with the piece of ass thing? You're talking to a lady here. I don't want that on my program.
So I'm married to a piece of ass and I can't stand.
I can't hear you?
I said I'm married to a... Never mind.
Okay, so your wife is an inanimate object.
No, ma'am.
That's
she
all
is.
She
no,
is.
Oh, hell no.
Well, that's how you were referring to her.
There's nothing inanimate about her.
Well, then why don't you suggest or why don't you start referring to her as an individual,
let me tell you what, as a person. I want to say, I want men to reclaim their wives back and not constantly suck hind you-know-what because some kid, you know, and for women to stop duping the men in their lives because I was under the understanding that we were going to have a ball, and all I want to do is have a ball, and now, all you know, only she does is she has the kid and she runs the risk of getting stretched out, too.
Okay, now,
think about
do you
that.
Give... Now, do you give back
and
your
her,
wife
her
in any other way than sex?
If my wife has one more kid, her body will be completely destroyed.
Okay,
destroyed.
Do you give back? Listen, do you give back?
I can have a vasectomy, and she won't.
All right, listen. Thanks for your call, ma'am.
If your kid walked in on you and your husband making love and said he was having trouble sleeping, would you cut your husband off? Yes.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Do mothers spend too much time with the kids and not enough time with their husbands? Fathers for Fairness says yes. We're talking with their founder, Vernon Dozier. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Fathers for Fairness. Vernon Dozier is the chairman. You're a football coach?
I teach varsity football.
And also a math teacher?
Yes, sir.
What are the points that you have communicated in this pamphlet to prospective members of your organization on how to get your wife back, how to keep her from having children, and how to make your marriage be about you and her and not about the kid? And I can't, as I say these words, I got to tell you, Mr. Dozier, I don't agree with any of this.
Okay, hold on for a minute. You don't agree with what?
I don't agree with a man who gets selfish and wants his wife all to himself. You have a son to think about.
Okay, I got a son to think about. Does that mean every time he turns around, I have a stomach ache, I have a, you know, this ache, I got a that ache, she's got to run off? I am married to a woman that used to dance in Las Vegas. How do I get that through to you? That means I'd like to see, you know, I spend a little time with her when her clothes aren't on. And I suppose that's wrong of me.
That's not wrong of you. It's just that the kid...
My wife has said she wants to have another kid, and I can have a vasectomy. And what we say in this...
You're tensed up, aren't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Look, I tell guys they can have a vasectomy, and I'll tell you something else. This never fails. As much as women say they love children, this never fails. Tell your wife that in your family, that something wrong genetically runs in your family. I told my wife that we have retards that run in our family genetically.
You have what, sir?
We've got, you know, mentally retards. Mental retards, mentally retarded.
So that means she doesn't want to have a kid?
That's what she wants to have, a retard for a kid. Or you can tell her that you've got Crohn's disease that runs the one that makes you look old. It'll freak them out. Then tell me how much they love kids. Yeah. Most men in America are so clueless that their wives have chosen their children over them. I'm a better man than that, and I won't succumb to this crap.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Bill. Go ahead, Bill. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Vernon Dozier.
Yeah, I'd like to tell Mr. Dozier something. Number one, sir, a family, when you decide to have children, it's a bonding relationship between everybody. You don't put your sexual preference before your child in any case. I've got children from my first marriage. I've got stepchildren from my second marriage. I wouldn't put my stepchildren nor my real children before any part of anything to do with sex.
You must not be married.
That is so off the wall and so lame of me to even say.
Lame? Sex is all of a sudden
goodbye.
Brother, what
even
happened to you?
I get a chance to have sex. I drive a truck now. I'm home some. I'm gone some. I used to work in a factory. We still have a week or two to go by. You may not have a sex life.
What's your wife look
your
like?
Child's needed.
What's your wife
like? Up all day caring for the child and been up at night sleeping.
What's your wife look
my
like?
My God, man, you need to get a grip on yourself.
See, he's
sex
important
is
question.
That important to you.
Does your old lady bark?
You know, and to sit there and say, you
bark?
Have such a beautiful wife.
She's
and,
a piece of ass.
And you would, I've got a very beautiful wife. And believe me, I love it when that time comes. But I wouldn't, you know, and to sit there and put her before my child. That's, you know, that's beyond me to the man
child.
To even get on the radio.
I just like to have a little.
And adults
maybe once
let
a year.
Let me ask you a question. Was you sexually abused or had something done to you as a child?
Well,
and
let me
don't surprise
you.
Me a bit to say that you got retardation runs in your family. It's pretty clear on the radio.
I was kidding about
that. Wouldn't surprise me a bit.
Well, do you have retardation running in your family? Because
well, I've got a loving
this.
Family that when you got kids can put sex... out of their mind and realize that you got a family built in love.
I want to say something, Bill.
Not
right, hold
sex,
on, Bill.
Not what pain you got in your loins.
Hold on, Bill. Hold on, Bill.
Okay. You say I got retards in my family?
You said it. I didn't.
Well, you just said it wouldn't be surprise you.
Well, to have somebody talk like you.
And the other thing is, what do you got, a litter of kids? How many kids you got? You got 9 with one woman, 6 with another? I mean,
well,
buddy,
I've got two of my own, and I got 2 stepchildren, and I wouldn't trade any of them to have sex with my wife. And I wouldn't throw him out on the street or act like you are
but
and have sex with his beautiful wife.
I just told my wife that I had retard syndrome genes. But I really don't. I just told her that. See?
It's pretty vulgar to lie to keep from having children. And it's pretty vulgar to say what you're saying about your own child. I got such a beautiful wife, I'll put her before my child. And the rest of you that can't say the same,
absolutely.
Your wife must be cows. That's obscene.
Well, come on, man. My old lady used to dance in Vegas.
What? Cow Palace, probably.
With what?
Right, a Cow Palace.
No, pal. She danced at the Tropicana in Las Vegas, all right? So, if your old lady barks, that's your problem. But
there's no need to go down that road. There's no need for you guys to insult each other's women. You know, even though you really didn't insult his wife, Bill, so I apologize for that.
Look, my wife's got a rack on her. And my kid, you figure it out, man.
Pitt, look at is that your
I'm trying to figure out people like you. That's the reason this world is so sick.
If you saw my old lady, you'd have said anything to get under that skirt. You'd have lied, cheated, and stolen.
No, I wouldn't, because I'm very happy with my wife, and I wouldn't have looked underneath your old lady's skirt and give up my marriage for what you have.
Dude, you take a look at my old lady, and you would slit throats.
God, get a grip, will you, pal? We're talking about a boy here, your son. You haven't said anything about your son. What is he like? What is your son like?
Who?
Your son. What is he like? Does he like baseball? Does he like football? Do you know anything about him?
Who, my son?
Yes, your son. What do you know about him?
Look, he goes to school, and I don't see him a lot.
Look,
I want to just say that if you saw my old lady, you'd put a diaper on just so you could breastfeed. Now, that's the truth.
Oh, my God. You're sick.
That's sick. Wait a second. You're telling me that's sick?
No, to be talking like that and putting that over your child, that's sick.
You could sharpen a buck knife on my old lady's pair.
Look, can we talk about your son instead of your old lady?
Whatever.
Yeah, fathers for fairness. And you told your wife you had retard syndrome. Sir, it's called mental... I don't even know what it's called now. You've had me think of this retard thing for so long. It's a mental retardation.
You'd coo and cry just to snuggle up with those milk bags.
You even care about your son?
You care about your son? Of course I do.
You care more about having sex than what your wife worries. You're not even...
Hey, Bill. You get a look at my old lady. You go...
This cat's flipped out, man.
You're not with the ball game.
Hey, if you do that, my wife will. She'll go ahead and go for it.
She would.
Yeah,
I wouldn't brag that I had a wife like that.
Okay, what's
if I go goo goo, she'd go for it. Yeah, that I wouldn't want a wife like that. I wouldn't brag about that on the radio.
You're kidding me. Do you like Dolly Parton? Now you must like Dolly Parton.
I like Dolly Parton as a singer.
Yeah. See the pair she's got? My old lady's got her beat. Now,
I don't judge somebody by that. You know, and it don't matter what's on the outside, sir.
My son.
You know, love what's on the outside, it's what's on the inside of a human being.
Do you know your son's name?
Of course I do.
What's your son's name? What's your son's name?
Don't, Mr. Henry, don't drill me like I'm some kind of a...
What is your son's name?
My son's name is... Vernon Jr.
No, it isn't. It's Joshua.
Well, I think you're lying.
Yeah, that's right. I'm lying. Thanks very much, sir. Was your wife just walk in the room?
Here she comes right now. Watch this. Excuse me, Phil. I got to put this depend on.
Yeah. That's about the sickest, most twisted bastard the world has ever known. So I'd like to thank Mike Reagan for calling in. 1-800-449... I'm kidding. Mike's in Tahiti, so he don't know. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Whitney Houston's dealer.
I just want to see if this is still working. Yep, it is. All right, I want to bring on Bill Maher. We haven't talked to him in a while. As you know, Bill has a show on HBO, and he had one on ABC, I think, called Politically Incorrect. Yeah, and he is on with us tonight to talk about politics, to talk about the possible upcoming war with Iraq. And he and I have a few differences of opinion, so I want to bring him on, but there's no doubt that he's a bright guy. Bill Maher, welcome to the Phil Henry Show.
Thanks, Phil.
Bill, I heard you say this on your show the other day on HBO, that if you go after Iraq, but you don't go after North Korea, you're a hypocrite. Did you get dumber when you went to HBO?
I probably did, Phil, just from the standpoint, I think I'm getting a little more panicky. I'm trying to backpedal and cover my position on Iraq.
Do you really honestly believe we shouldn't be at war with Iraq?
No, I don't.
Well, then you don't. Why?
Why do I not?
I mean, why? Then why do you say what you say?
Well, I say what I said. My anti-Bush stance.
Yeah.
Because I'm angry and embarrassed over the stupid things I said after 9/11. I mean, I really said some stupid stuff after 9/11 that basically got, you know, my audience against me. And so I felt, rather than sort of straighten it out a little bit, I felt like I had to, you know, just make it worse, you know, keep digging the hole deeper. and now I say dumb things on a regular basis. But I'm so stupid, I'm not sure why my comment go after North Korea and Iraq. Why do you think that's dumb?
Well, number one, we're going after Iraq because it is the most obvious nation to go after, first of all. It is in violation of UN sanction. It is known supporter of terrorism in keeping with the war on terrorism, which we started because we have become victims of that terrorism. So it is it's a very obvious target. And I can't understand why an intelligent guy like you would say, if you go after Iraq, you don't go after North Korea. It's hypocritical. So you really don't believe that?
I don't even know what it is you just said. I do. I don't know what I believe, but I know what I say. And I think that's really the point of you making fun of celebrities, isn't it? That what we say and what we believe are two different things.
That's right.
Well, I'm right. I'm up your alley then, Phil. I don't know what I believe. But what I say is that North Korea should be attacked. But I don't know why I really say that.
You see, because the stupidity of that comment is, it's like a child on a playground saying, well, he got it and he got it, why can't I? You know, certain things take precedence over others, and certain situations need attention and others don't. And it seemed to me like you were reverting to the thinking of a three-year-old.
Well, I guess that's true.
I mean, I don't think you're a three-year-old, Bill.
Well, thank you.
But that's the way you come across.
See, I've got to be political, Phil. I can't say things that are necessarily against the Hollywood establishment.
Why?
I don't know whether you know this or not, but I go out with very tall black women. I am very short, and I have red hair. So imagine a short, red-headed guy with a big nose walking next to these tall, beautiful black women. There's no chance in hell. There's not even a snowball's chance in a furnace. There isn't the remotest opportunity that I would even sniff something like that if I wasn't on television. And the only way to get on television is to have these opinions about, you know, whatever it is that I said. So
it's all about going out with tall black women.
Oh, we'll get a load of you, like you're all shocked.
No, but I'm very happy that you're admitting it. We're talking with Bill Maher, ladies and gentlemen, the host of his... What's the name of your show on HBO?
I don't know.
My producer just said it's called Real Time.
It's called Real Time.
By the way, you're looking more like B. Arthur every day, man. Did getting canned out of ABC, did that really mess you up?
It was frustrating. It was frustrating. I got to know my right hand. Woo-hoo! Yeah, because...
So no tall black chicks would go out with you when you weren't on TV.
Exactly. So I just I'm just thankful that I got the gig, and I'm getting invited to Clive Davis's parties again, and, you know, things are happening.
By the way, I saw you at that Arista party.
Uh-huh.
And you were standing next to the big, tall black chick.
Right.
You look stupid. I mean, I just want you to know.
Thank you.
Well, no, I didn't mean to say, but you look really stupid, really idiotic standing next to those women.
Well, I guess I do, but,
I mean, do you sleep with them?
I don't know.
Yeah, neither do I. That's why you can't answer that. All right. Listen, Bill, thank you so much for being on the program so we can have a little bit of fun with you.
A little bit of fun. Yeah, that's right. That's what they did to Jeffrey Dahmer. They just had a little bit of fun with him. They beat him to death with a broom handle. But, yeah, you're just having a little bit of fun.
Yeah, well, thank you for letting us have just a little bit of fun with you.
Right. Jail rape. Little bit of fun.
And the continued success or whatever you want to call it on that show you got on HBO called what?
Sorry, I forgot.
Real Time?
It's called Real Time, yeah.
All right. Congratulations, Bill, on being on working again. Try not to say stupid, uninformed, and very unsophisticated things. We're not on the playground, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye, Phil.
Bill Maher, a real idiot. Not a very talented guy and very smart, but you see, when you're falling all over yourself trying to find justification for your opinions about the possible military action against Iraq, and you happen to be against it, when you're stretching and reaching and just, I mean, that's what people do when they're arguing against militarily intervening in Iraq. They got to just stretch for the moon. They got to reach and stretch and try to find every justification under the sun. And Bill, there's nobody better at it than Bill. And by the way, I know you very well, don't I, Bill?
Yes, sir. You've been to my home many times.
All right. See, I can say anything. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. By the way, I've got two very good friends, and I might as well just close the show out with this. My wife and I have two very good friends. One's Canadian, one is British. Both have lived in the United States for at least 15 years. Neither one is a citizen. And both are very vocal and have no problem under my own roof saying things about America that they don't like. So I've decided I'm going to throw them out of my home the next time I hear it. I'm just going to pitch them out on their ass. And I love them. One's a Canadian from Montreal. She's been living here since, I don't know, 1985. The other's British. She's been here for 20 years. And they're like, you know, here's what's wrong with America. And here's, oh, yeah, well, why do you say that? Hey, and I pay taxes, so I can say that. And, of course, I give them the standard argument, which is this is not a free enterprise zone where you can come. This is not Disneyland. See, everybody in the world thinks that America is the world's version of Disneyland. You come here, you take the wrapper off your ice cream cone, and you throw it onto the ground, right? And you just take a crap wherever you want. And then when you're ready to go home, you go home. That's not it. This is a real place. So I've decided anybody comes into my house again and talks crap and they don't have their American passport, I'm throwing them out. I'm just getting more and more and more. What would you say, Bill?
Like a Nazi?
Yes, exactly. 1-800-449-8686. I'm Phil Hendry.
And I'm Bill Maher.
And we'll be right back.
The Phil Hendry And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
What was perhaps just a entertainment note of interest, maybe to fans and to parents, Paul McCartney, the ex-Beatle of 30-plus years, and his wife Heather are planning to have a child. This may not have been such a huge announcement, but there's an organization called the Co-Parenting International Foundation, and they're having a meeting and having a couple of meetings in Las Vegas. We want to talk to Jeff Dowder. He's a professor of mechanical physics at Caltech and also one of the founding members of this organization. Why is Mr. McCartney, Paul McCartney's and his wife Heather's expected birth of a child, the expected child, why is that controversial?
Well, I wouldn't call it controversial, Phil. First of all, my congratulations to the McCartneys and
But you're concerned.
We are concerned. There's no doubt about it. But I do want to preface my remarks by saying in no way does what I'm about to say reflect on the character of the McCartneys, or on certainly on decades of great music that Mr. McCartney's given us. I'm a little young to know about the Beatles, but I do acknowledge what they've done. What concerns us, Phil, is that Mrs. McCartney was the victim of a pretty serious accident which resulted in injuries that were serious enough, they necessitated the amputation of one of her legs. And we're pretty concerned that the McCartneys, in bringing a child into the world, will, I guess, subject that child to an unconventional atmosphere, which I think may be the proper way to put it.
Well, what do you mean? I mean, does this have to do with him being a Beatle or?
No, I'm speaking more about Mrs. McCartney.
About her because she lost her leg?
Yeah, I feel that what we're trying to say, Phil, is the influence and presence of a parent that is not normal, or if you want to say abnormal, or just has the one leg, could affect the child's psychological health. That's the only thing we're concerned about.
Well, that she has one leg. I mean, what about, obviously, the woman loves her child. I'm going to have to find out specifically why this woman having one leg, and she wears the prosthetic limb, doesn't she?
My understanding is, yes, sure, she does, yes.
Okay, so she wears a prosthetic limb. Why would her having only one leg affect the child?
Sir, I'd like to, first of all, I want to say that we don't live in a perfect world. I wish that the world was perfect. I'm sure if the Beatles ran the world, it would be a lot along the lines of a song that Mr. McCartney wrote called What You Need Is Love. But we don't live in a perfect world. First of all, any child of the McCartneys will see that their mom only has the one leg. And you mentioned a prosthetic limb.
Exactly.
the prosthetic limb is something that she has to take on and off. As anybody knows who has a small child, oftentimes you have the child with you when perhaps you're undressing. It's not anything wrong. It's just if it's a small baby, and even a baby can remember seeing the plastic leg.
All right, but this is all to say that a plastic leg or one leg on a woman is a bad message. Okay, so you're saying that physical appearance, what about love? What about commitment to the child? You're saying this is a trauma that is being visited on this kid, and I'm talking about...
Well, it either traumatizes the child or the child doesn't get the message, and that's, you know, see, what we're saying is, if you have a child and you only have the one leg, the child focuses more on the disability than they do on any lesson of love or life lesson that you're going to be giving. And that's what concerns us more than anything else. It's not that that love isn't going to help. Certainly love helps. Love is great, but a child raised by an abnormal parent will not grow normally due to the focus on the leg.
First of all, when you say abnormal, it sounds as if Mrs. McCartney's not abnormal.
No, sir, not at all. But she does have a physical malady. And if you're trying to impart a lesson to a child, and I can cite, if you want, Ms. Jenner, we've got at least two studies, one done by the University of Arkansas, on the early locomotive abilities of infants from 0 to 3 years of age and from 3 to 8 years of age. And when you try to give a message to a child, at least two or three researchers could see that the children's eyes wandered between the face of the parent who is giving them the lesson, and then they look down and see no leg.
In other words, they're looking down to see that there's only one leg. Is that distracting them?
It can distract them. That's why we're saying the McCartneys need, I think, to apply to either our organization or other organizations to make sure that child, at least two weekends a month, has the advantage of being in a home with parents that have all four legs. Two legs for each parent, but that's equals four, instead of in a home where one of them is abnormal.
Yeah, but you're talking about removing a child from their home for two weekends a month.
No, but the rest of the time they're with the normal parents. And the baby will think they're, you know, first of all, you give a child a toy doll, and you can pull the leg off a toy doll. Now the child sees the plastic leg on his mom or her mom, and now they're all this, they don't know what's up, because there's a plastic leg on a Barbie, plastic leg on the mom. All of this, Phil, is what is called pre-locomotive trauma, which we do cover in our literature.
All right, Dr. Jeff Dowder, professor of mechanical physics from Caltech, is with us. The McCartneys are planning on having a baby. Mrs. McCartney is missing one of her legs. She had from an automobile accident. It is the contention of your organization that this could possibly cause the child to grow up somehow warped because they've been
exposed to the trauma of having a parent with one leg. And the other thing too, Phil, is I think you have to consider, what's it going to be like teaching that kid to walk when you only have a leg? Now the kid, in many instances, may mimic the walk of the mother. Even though he's got perfectly two good legs, he'll be walking with a limp because he's seen her do that.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. The McCartneys have been living their lives in a relatively quiet way. To say that with this announcement that they are going to have a child, or that they're expecting to make a child or whatever, should be met with some skepticism seems rather cruel. Don't you think?
Mr. Henry, believe me, I would rather not be cruel. What I want it to be is a warning to the McCartneys. If you have a baby and all you have is one, or all she's got is one leg, you're exposing the kid to an abnormal home. Most kids grow up in a house where the parents have all their body parts. Okay,
but surely there are kids that grow up in homes where a parent has one leg.
Absolutely, and those kids do grow up traumatized. What we're trying to do, for the first time in the history of parenting, is take a look at this and say, what kind of trauma is a kid going through? We did studies on children that were raised by people who were hearing impaired. It's interesting, even though the children had normal hearing, they would start every sentence with, huh? What? Now, that's interesting. And that,
well, maybe they just hear their parents say that.
It's possible, but they've got perfect hearing, and you could say any normal sentence. Would you like to go out to have some dinner? What? Uh-huh. They can hear you. You're right next to them. That's because they were raised...
What, with two parents that kept saying, huh, and what?
You know, I don't personally think...
Well, look, I don't mean to laugh, but what you say...
Well, what we're trying to say here, Mr. Henry, is we want children who grow up in homes where the parents are not normal to feel normal.
Taking a child away from his loving mother 2 weekends a month and putting him in a home with parents who have all of their legs, you know, that's going to traumatize the kid. Because
no, it won't. It's only 2 weekends a month. The child is with the parent the other time.
Well, what are you going to tell the kid, man? Here's two perfectly strange people, but you need to be around them because they've got all their legs?
You just say this is time with a proxy parent to help round out your education. That's all you have to say. You don't have to say nothing more than that. I mean, again, what we're saying here is a child growing up in that environment could be traumatized. We've seen children, for instance, who learn how to speak when they had parents who were stutterers. And again, they can speak normally, but everything is with a stutter like that, because that's how they heard people when they first were getting grown up. Also, as I mentioned...
Yeah, but that thing about... I'm sorry.
Mr. Henry, I know it sounds funny.
Well, the thing about parents that can't hear...
Yes, sir.
And the kids can hear fine, but they start every sentence with huh and what?
Because they grew up hearing that.
All right. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Paul McCartney and Linda... Paul and Heather McCartney. God rest your soul, Linda. His new wife, she is a lady who suffered an automobile accident. She has one leg. She has a prosthetic limb. This gentleman is part of an organization called Co-Parenting International. They think it is traumatizing to a child to grow up in a home with a parent who has that kind of physical deficiency or abnormality, that the child will see the one leg and be traumatized by it, that the child needs to spend at least 2 weekends a month with parents who have all of their limbs to know what is normal. I don't know how you take a child out of the home of his mother and say, I'm sorry, you can't be with this child every day of your life. We have to put him in another home because you're not normal enough. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Vagisil for the mind.
Paul McCartney and his wife, Heather, are planning on having a child. Heather McCartney lost a leg in an automobile accident 10 years ago. Jeff Dowder, who's a professor of mechanical physics at Caltech and a co-chair of the Co-Parenting International, believes it'll traumatize a child to grow up with a mother who has only one leg. And we're talking to Mr. Dowder. He's in Las Vegas, Nevada, for a conference of Co-Parenting International. Sounds like you're in the casino, sir.
We're just having a little R&R, Phil, or the casino at MGM Grand right now. We're going to go over to two seminars later tonight. One's going to be at the hotel, and another will be at one of our members' homes who we're fortunate enough to is hosting us this evening.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. Should Paul and Linda McCartney have a child, have a baby, even though Heather only has one leg? You think that it's okay as long as the child can spend 2 weekends a month around two-legged people, correct?
Around people who don't have, you know, a obvious physical abnormality.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Lauren, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Dr. Jeff Dowder.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Yes. This gentleman is scary. Does he think this child is going to only be surrounded by people who just have one leg? You never know. If the two family, if the household has two parents or one parent, if it's a loving environment, a nurturing environment, an accepting environment, an environment that says let's learn to accept people for their differences and teaching the child how to cope with life and the differences and the problems that come up in life, that's the key to a healthy, normal, adjusted child.
Well, I agree that love...
with two legs. My brother-in-law has a prosthetic leg, and my niece and nephew are perfectly happy, well-adjusted, and, you know,
well,
they...
Well, I'd love to interview the children. I'd love to interview those children and find out just how well-adjusted they are. I'm not saying they don't love their father.
Sorry, you're a little too scary for me.
And I'm not saying...
anyone to...
I'd like to know if the leg... Your brother-in-law has no leg?
Right, he has a prosthesis from above the knee down.
What happened? Can I ask you how I lost a leg?
It was a train accident. But
does he, a train accident? I mean, I hate to say... Well, I need to ask... I think I need to ask... Was he laying down on a track or something? Was it some kind of a stunt?
You know what? This is not a call about how my brother-in-law lost his leg.
Well, I think the children will want to know if their father was laying on a railroad track...
But it isn't what we're talking about, and the woman is making a very good point. Okay, it's about a loving home.
I don't disagree with that. I'm curious. Was he watching Jackass or something like that? That's all I'm asking.
Was he watching Jackass?
This thought to me is very scary. Taking a child out of their home to be put in a household with people who have both legs.
Yes.
That, I mean, what is he going to say next, what we should be doing with our children? Taking them out of the house with the person with the brown eyes and putting them in the house with the person with the blue eyes. That was also...
Those are not handicaps. Those are not handicaps, ma'am. I have to tell you, I worry about children in a home where the father watches Jackass and goes out and lays down a railroad track.
Who said anything about that? Now, you're just making assumptions, and you're the kind of person who really scares me.
Well, ma'am, I don't want to scare you. I want to give you a way out. I want to find a way out.
I don't need a way out. What we need is more people to just learn to be accepting and not need to change the environment of the handicapped person, except to make it maybe a little more acceptable for them.
Well, I think that what we need to do is, if they have a parent, and this lady brought up something, Mr. Henry.
What?
If they have a parent who is running around acting like an idiot and losing his leg on purpose.
Now, you see, then, I don't know what your problem is.
I'm not saying that's your brother.
You don't really stay on the topic when you have no idea my brother-in-law's situation, nor am I going to get into the situation with you. You
well, that's
just
fine.
Need to delve into any other topic.
All right, that's fine. I won't.
Staying
okay.
On the topic at hand.
That's fine, but let me just say this. Do you think a child should stay in a home where... Do you think a child should stay in the home where the parent is jumping off of the roof or lighting his farts?
Okay. He's talking about
changing the topic.
You know, irresponsibly acting parents is all I'm talking about, ma'am. Is damaging to a child as living with...
Irresponsible acting parents.
Okay.
There are lots of irresponsible acting parents with two legs.
Yes, exactly. But if they act irresponsibly and then they lose a leg on top of that, now you really got a problem.
Well, who are you or me or anybody... And knowing the person, in this particular instance, it's the McCartneys, and whose business
right.
is it anyway?
Yeah.
How does anybody know how she lost her leg?
I believe I know. She lost it in an automobile accident.
Well, right there.
No, that doesn't tell me anything. She lost it in an automobile accident, not running around, jumping off of rooftops. The woman was a professional model. The last thing she wanted to do was lose one of her legs. So.
Well, but you don't know what people do for kicks, either.
Well, are you suggesting this?
You know, people with two legs, two arms, PhDs, doctorates, psychiatrists, astronauts, you know, they can do all sorts of wacky things in the privacy of their own home. You know, nobody will know about.
We need more stable parents, not Johnny Knoxville-style parents. That's all I'm saying.
How did this get into,
what do you think? You think, I mean, are we talking about mental stability or physical stability?
I'm talking about a one-legged man. One-legged man lost his leg laying down on a railroad track.
So you're talking about his physical stability, that he won't be able to stand well?
What we're worried about more than anything is that the children will see a one-legged parent begin to imitate their style of walk. I'm sorry?
No, it doesn't happen.
They'll be imitating their style of walk. You've suddenly got two people, a child, a perfectly normal child, limping across the crosswalk. It looks ridiculous.
You know what?
Oh, come on. All right, listen, ma'am, I got to take a break because your phone
is moot.
Thank you very much, though.
Are you sure Heather McCartney, you know, and I say this again, I'm sure what you're saying is true. How do we know she wasn't on the Jackass?
And Heather McCartney didn't lose her leg on Jackass. Heather McCartney lost her leg in an automobile accident, a tragic thing for a beautiful young woman who, you know, at one time was a professional model.
Okay.
All right, I want to get, we got like a minute left here in the half hour. We are going to get to more phone calls. We're going to take a quick break here. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. You said you cite a study from the University of Arkansas on the locomotion ability of toddlers and small children.
That's correct, yeah.
Now, that study showed that if there was a household that had a handicapped parent, the child inputs slower?
Yes, because having to sit there and listen to a parent give you a life lesson, and then also kind of try to ignore the fact they only got one leg is tough. It's distracting. It's distracting.
So the kid is like, can't listen to 2 + 2 = 4 because he's concentrating on there's only
one leg there. Children that grow up in a three-legged household have a lower chance of inputting.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back with Jeff Dowder on Heather McCartney.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
We're with Dr. Jeff Dowder. He's in Las Vegas at the Co-Parenting International Convention, and you will be there through Sunday. The philosophy that because Heather McCartney, Paul McCartney's wife, has one leg, her child may grow up traumatized, has obviously got people upset. What do you say to people who will tell you that they grew up with one-legged parents and that they're fine?
I think they're in, unless they got some heavy counseling early on, I think they're in denial. I think anybody what grew up with a one-legged parent and did not get some kind of counseling is fooling themselves into thinking that it did not impact them. And again, we have cases where kids had parents who were sight impaired, were blind, and they thought it's perfectly normal for parts of the day to walk around with their eyes closed. Now, this can be a dangerous situation, stepping out into traffic.
Well, look, no kid's going to step into traffic with his eyes closed.
If he thinks it's normal not to be able to see.
But he sees the rest of the world can see.
But he knows his parents can't. And remember that a parent is the gold standard in life for every child. What their parent does and what their parent believes is what the kid believes.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Jessica. Go ahead, Jessica.
Yes. I tell you what, I work in radio, and this is just the biggest waste of airspace I've ever heard in my entire life. This guy
could
is
I comment,
a freak.
Can I comment on that, Mr. Henry?
Go ahead.
You work in radio. Good for you. I happen to have observed children from a behavioral stance for the last 20 years. So,
playing another
Britney Spears record, good for you, but we're trying to help kids.
Hey, I don't carry Britney Spears, and that's beside the point.
My point is, if you would spend half of your time
and your energy on maybe taking children out of the homes of crackheads or something along those lines, then we'd be talking about something important.
Okay, that's fine. But go ahead and do that, but the kid's still going to, at least he's got parents that are walking on two legs.
Oh, it's okay for them to be walking on two legs if they're stoned out of their heads or drunk or whatever their drug of choice may be?
Of course not. But how embarrassing is it to be in a house, every other kid's got four legs walking around there, and he's looking at three.
And he's not going to ever see anybody else in the world that has maybe a deformed arm or an arm missing or a leg or an eye or anything like that. So you're going to shelter them from everything else in the world.
Well, first of all, if you're talking about an eye, they have patches that people can wear. And if you've been around enough teenagers to know, they think that looks cool.
Oh, so, okay.
Right.
Well, what if a child thinks it's cool to only have one leg?
No
Can
way.
They not
no
think
way.
That's cool either?
Believe me, no way. No kid thinks it's cool to walk around on, you know, like with one of those plastic legs where you're doing the dip when you walk, you know.
But if they think
what
it's
do you
cool
mean
to only have one eye?
Yeah, because of the patch, because it looks cool. It looks like the Raiders helmet. The other thing that
what do you mean it looks like? What do you mean the one-legged dip?
If you've seen people with plastic legs, they do the deep dip when they walk.
That's not true. I grew up with my dad's best friend who lost both arms and was totally disfigured.
You lived with him?
I grew up around this man.
Oh, okay.
He had no arms. His face was disfigured. I never once looked at another person strange because of growing up in that environment.
Was your father in the circus, or was he a...
This was probably a wounded veteran, you idiot.
This was an electrocution accident while he was working.
I take grave exception to you calling me an idiot.
Well, what do you mean, did he grow up in the circus?
He is an idiot. This man is an idiot.
For another example is a kid raised... Oh, I'm an idiot. You're
yes,
the,
you are.
You're the one that's
you
playing
are a
the,
freak tonight.
Yeah, you're the one that's scratching the next 50 Cent or Linkin Park, and I'm the one helping kids, and I'm an idiot.
You don't have any idea what I carry on my radio station, so don't generalize me onto what you think I might or might not carry. That has nothing to do with it.
So, in other words, you play country music.
How do you know? I carry this show is what I carry.
Three guesses, the first two don't count.
I carry this show on my radio station is what
are
I
you,
carry.
Are you the program director?
I am the traffic director.
Hey, Henry.
Don't ever call me by my last name.
Thank you.
My
yes.
name is Phil.
Sorry.
Don't ever say, hey, Henry, to me. Only my friends get to call me that.
Sorry. I just...
Do you have... Does this guy have children?
What?
Do you have children?
Not that I know about.
I'll pray to God that you never do.
What's a traffic manager doing at a radio station?
Those are the people that schedule the commercial. What difference does it make? We're talking about you with your... And what do you mean kids that are the children of people that are hearing impaired go, huh? What?
They do!
All right, thank you very much, Jessica, for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Maxine, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Maxine?
Yes.
Go ahead, ma'am. You're on the air.
Hi. Just have to say that this guy is absolutely the most idiotic person I've ever in my life listened to.
Wait, let me ask. Are you two
you
legged?
Let me say something. You're going to take every single child whose father abandoned them and put them in a home every other weekend or two weekends a month with two parents, and that's going to make the child stability and make him a better person?
Abandon them? No, I'm talking about whose mother has one leg.
Okay, but my point is, you're saying he's going to be affected. What happens? You don't think a child is affected when a father abandons them and he sees them, walks out, packs his clothes, and leaves?
Good point.
He's not going to be affected, so we should take all the children.
Good point.
Whose parents leave them and put them in another home and say, well, now you're in a two-parent home every other weekend.
What is your comment? What's your comment to that, Dr. Dotter?
I agree with the lady that a child is affected, but not as seriously as what they have a one-legged parent. But what do you call a one-legged woman? By the way, Maxine, what do you call a one-legged woman?
A normal person with just one leg.
No. Eileen. Get it? And
okay, Dr. Dotter, I don't want to hear your stupid jokes.
You are absolutely the most ignorant person. I hope you don't have children because they're going to be mentally challenged because of you. That is the stupidest thing I have ever heard.
What?
Because a mother has one leg. You're going to take the child out and put her in a home.
No, just for two weekends a month. That's all.
What is the purpose of that? What is
the
purpose?
So the kid can be around.
The child is still going to come back to the same environment. What is it going to prove? What purpose?
Because then he knows that there are parents that have two legs each.
Oh, my God. But I'm sure everybody else in this child's family has two legs. What is the difference? If they're loved and nurtured, they're going to look beyond that. It's a normal thing.
Can I cite another report from the University of Arkansas? This is the children who were raised by little people or people who had what is called endocrinitis or a dwarfism is what it's called.
Dwarfism.
Yeah.
Children raised by dwarfs grow up to be fine.
Except they have a significant slouching problem. Because
why?
Oh, my God, you are absolutely off the wall. You are completely off the wall. I don't know what drugs you're taking, but you're nuts.
What?
You are completely nuts. This is the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Why slouching?
Because they don't.
So if I'm in an accident and I lose my arm, I'm going to take my two children and send them away for 2 weekends a month because they're going to see two people who have two arms and two arms. That's the stupidest thing. My kid's going to love me if my arm falls off or I break my arm or I lose my arm. My kid's going to love me just the same. He's not going to be affected by it. I can't even believe your reasoning. This is absolutely insane.
Look, ma'am, one of the things, okay, what do you call a guy with no arms and no legs water skiing?
What has that got to do with the tea in China?
What did he say?
Skip.
Now, what has that got to do with the tea in China?
What?
Listen,
what has that got to do with the tea in China? That's got nothing to do with it. You are saying to take a child out of the home because
yes,
he's going to see his
yes.
mother with just one leg?
Right, but I'm not saying take the child away. I'm just saying 2 days a month he'll be with two-legged people. Then he can go back to one-legged.
You're talking like he's a dog. Then this is ridiculous.
No, he's not a dog. Look.
Why do you call a guy with no arms and no legs
laying on the ground?
Matt.
You need to get
some severe counseling
yourself.
Absolutely.
You need counseling. Your parents must have been a little bit deranged because there's something mentally wrong with you. This is the stupidest topic I've ever heard.
Well, I work with kids.
Take a child out because the mother has a prosthesis. That's the dumbest thing.
I work with kids.
So do I.
And I can tell you, okay, what's a guy with
no more no arms and no legs jokes. No more of those.
Well, you heard the last
one. I heard the last one. Yeah, Matt. Funny.
I mean, what's with the jackass, the last one with the train running over?
Well, she said that her brother had no leg, and I said, how'd that happen? She had a railroad accident, and she didn't want to get into it. Now, let me ask you something, ma'am.
It was her prerogative not to.
Yeah,
whether he got run over, whether whatever it was.
That's what I'm trying to say.
How is that going to affect the child?
I'll tell you. If he's got a father who wants to be the next contestant on Jackass, and he's getting his leg crushed over by a train or lighting farts or anything.
All right. Thank you very much.
What'd you do?
I hung up on the lady to let her get on with her day.
What do you call a guy with no arms and no legs laying in a pile of leaves?
Russell.
That's right. What do you call it?
Forget it. 1-800-449-8686. Let me go over to one more phone call here, Mr. Dodder. Marie, go ahead. Hi. Marie.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, okay.
What do you call a guy with...
Shut up and let the lady talk.
I think it's just totally disgusting. You know, we have all these poor children that are beaten to death by parents who are abusive, and somebody with a slight disability is a perfectly fine parent.
Slight? Having only one leg?
Yes.
I'd say that's more than slight.
Well, I have also had a limp my whole life, and my daughter never imitated that, ever.
She taught her
to walk.
She didn't start out limping.
No.
And they can love...
She didn't never stutter either, and I've always had a stuttering problem.
You're not stuttering now?
No, because I'm mad. I don't stutter when I'm mad.
Compared to you, Dr. Dodder, who's...
What?
I don't know. You sound out of it or something. And you know what? People with only one leg can love.
Well, they can love, but only...
We had to dump that lady. She said the B word.
The R word?
What R word? B word. B-S word.
B-S. B-S.
You think about it, okay?
Yeah.
1-800-449-8686.
Oh, cool. The nickel slot.
Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Food Bar.
Thank you.
949-8686.
The voice in the preceding bit of Jeff Dowder was performed by me, and the people to call were real people. And just a memo to either Jamie Kennedy or Brian Whitman, if you couldn't write fast enough, your tape recorders weren't working. You can hear this again on my website, www.philhenryshow.com. All of our shows are archived up to 30 days. We also have our comedy archives. It's all there. And it's all good. Now we have a flashback from Rich Slauson, attorney Rich Slauson, who said showing Scott Peterson the autopsy photos of his dead wife and baby, that's cruel and unusual punishment. I mean, even though he killed them, he loves them.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Rich, what is this, a big joke? He had an affair. His wife was 8.5 months pregnant. All he cared about was his girlfriend, I guess, Amber, and what was going to happen to him. Then there's evidence that he cleaned up his house. There was bleach, I guess, in his kitchen.
Oh, you don't
there were traces of blood.
You don't clean your house?
I don't clean my house.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah,
if you don't clean,
I
do. Some
but
people
not,
do.
Not when my husband and my child are missing.
Some people clean their homes.
Well, bull. I can't say the rest of it.
Some people
then
clean
what
their
about
homes.
When he decided to take off with his blonde wig or his bleach blonde hair, his scads of money, his
survival
gear?
I'm not saying he didn't do it. I'm not saying he didn't do it. I'm not saying he did do it.
But if you're saying that he did it and that he now is crying for a child and a woman that he actually, at his hands, murdered, you're a joke.
I think that the guy could be a suicide case.
Wouldn't that be wonderful? He would save the taxpayers hundreds of thousands of dollars and we'd get rid of more scum because there's enough walking the earth already.
I think that this would be a tragic loss of human life.
Well, then maybe somebody
would,
should teach you. Maybe you didn't learn very much, Rich.
Are you a lawyer?
I should be, though, because apparently you don't do too good of a job of it.
So why don't you let me do the investigation, and you can just clean your house, which you say you don't do. That'd be a nice project.
Because apparently you're not doing a very good job to have sympathy, empathy? Maybe you killed a few people too.
Well, I tell you what. No, I haven't cleaned. I haven't killed anybody. But I can tell you what. I clean my bathtub occasionally. So I'll do the investigation, and you scrub out a toilet. How about that?
No, I don't think so. I think that maybe a quarter of your attorney that charges 25 cents because anybody has more brains than you do.
This man was a brilliant fertilizer salesman. What do you do for a living?
You know what fertilizer is made from? That's who you are and your client.
Let me ask you something. What do you do for a living when you're not on your back?
What do I do for a living?
Yeah, when you're not on your back with your legs up in the air. What do you do?
What am I doing
for a living? All right, okay, come on.
No, she started it.
Listen, you're a bum.
You know, you're a,
you know why you're a bum? Because you have to stoop to such a level because you don't have the intellect to compete with anybody of my intellect.
Ma'am, your intellect, you haven't showed me intellect. You don't even clean a toilet.
I gave you four good reasons.
What?
He has motive, and you said even if he did it, he could feel remorse.
He
feels remorse after he did it?
He feels horrible about that kid.
He feels horrible? Why don't you go into the jail with him and maybe you could console him?
Look, why don't you go watch Judge Judy and get a little more material?
If you had Judge Judy's brain, maybe you would be doing something better with your life than feeling empathy, not sympathy, empathy. I think maybe you killed a few people.
I want to jump in here and ask, if he loved his wife,
you're a friggin' ass.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Well, there you go. That preempted anything I had to say. That's Rich Slauson. He's our attorney character who sounds like a few of the others. Whatever, man. You know, Henry, you don't do very good voices. I know that. We do characters, man. We do characters. We don't do voices on this show. But that's something that the world of radio don't get. I read something the other day. What was it? Oh, you remember when we had on Jeff Dowder and he said that, what do they bury the corn god in? A cornhole, right? Jeff Dowder said that. But there's a radio website out there that quoted it. They said, where do you bury the corn god in a cornhole? Phil Hendry said that. That's kind of like saying, this is business, this isn't personal, James Caan. I mean, no, James Caan didn't say it. Sonny Corleone said it, for crying out loud. But in radio, you're just a host. Okay, Phil, you're just a host. Just be a host now. Well, I'm kind of an actor, too. An actor! Look, Tim Robbins, there's an actor. Sean Penn. Who's the guy he's married to? Susan, what do you mean, guy? Bob Streisand? Oh, Barbara, yes. Streisand's an actor, too. Actress. No, you're just a host, Phil, so you just go ahead and be a host. So that's what we're up against. It's just so terrible. The money wasn't so great. 1-800-449-8686. The number here, Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back with more.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.